broadcasting from Cincinnati.
You're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Podcast, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Ringside Robbie, and we have a great show for you today. And as always, you can catch us on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com. And today we're going to talk about friend of the show, Francisco Santana, had a huge win this weekend. He looked great, and we'll talk about that. IBF strips Tyson Fury of the title already. Already. It's just gone off his waist. The WBC has backed off of Triple G versus Canelo, as we expected. Our history lesson today goes all the way back deep to December 2nd, 2000. Felix Trinidad versus Fernando Vargas. And we continue with our lightweight fantasy tournament. But first, we get started with the PBC on NBC. Omar Figueroa and Antonio DeMarco. Figueroa looked good in this fight, man. I thought that both guys really looked good in this fight. I can't believe how many punches Figueroa threw. In the second round alone, he had landed already 76 punches to 17.
Well, you know, I think Figueroa alone threw, what, almost 1,100 or something
Over 1,000 punches in 12 rounds, man. Yeah. And I thought he dominated the first, like I said, man, they said he dominated the first six rounds of the fight. He threw a tons of combinations. That guy is just like, he just won't stop punching, man. But
is he at the wrong weight class? Because it looked like as the fight went on, he wasn't having any effect against DeMarco. Does he need to go either up or down in weight?
I don't know. DeMarco. You know, like I said, I mean, you know, when you're throwing that many punches, you're just trying to connect. They don't really have that much mustard on them. But again, you're getting hit, you know, this many times. But DeMarco really, I thought, turned it around later in the fight. And this he really closed the gap in this fight, man.
And I went into this fight thinking Marco Antonio Antonio DeMarco didn't have anything left, and I really don't know how much he's got left. To be honest with you, I don't know if DeMarco is better than he's got more left than I think, or whether Figueroa is at the wrong weight.
I don't know, man, but I tell you what, he turned things around, and he really came on in the second half of the fight, and, he really put it on him, I thought, in the second half of the fight. He won. Now, I didn't score the fight, but I thought it was super close. The judges' final scores were 116-112 and 115-113 twice, which I thought was right there in the ballpark, the 115-113. I thought that Figueroa did enough in the early rounds to bring him the victory, but man, I wouldn't mind seeing it again. That's for sure.
I was just gonna say, do we see this again?
I would like to see it again. You know, he had him. DeMarco had him staggered in the 11th round. Surprisingly, as many punches as Figueroa threw, he didn't seem to stun DeMarco at all.
No, see, that's another reason why I think DeMarco is better than what I think he is, and he does have something left, or Figueroa is at the wrong weight. Those are the only two conclusions I can come up with, and I don't know which one is accurate here.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, but DeMarco, like I said, man, DeMarco, it could have just been one of those fights. You know, you're in Texas, you got, DeMarco's right there. I mean, he's Mexican, and, you know,
you got gift scoring, which we'll talk about later.
Overall, man, I'll tell you what. Everybody talks about the fight of the years and everything like that, man. We've had a lot of – I don't know who the fight of the year is, but I still like that Hook-Glowacki fight, man, or Glowacki fight.
That was
a good fight, man. That
I've got to say the Japanese dude and the guy that fought on the undercard of Canelo. That has to be right up there.
Yeah.
You know, I forget the two names, but you know what?
I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about, and I can't remember it to save my life. That one, I know who you're talking about. That was good.
Yeah, that has to be right up there. You know, I forget who it is, but I know the names when I hear them. But man, that has to be right up there. That would be my fight of the year personally. But you know,
I don't get a vote. Is that Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao?
Absolutely, I can't. Jeez.
Paid $100 for that fight. It ought to be fight of the year on merit just alone. Just on that alone, it should be a fight of the year.
Yeah, wow. Snowball's chance in the hell of that. But, I want to see this again because, frankly, I think questions need to be answered here on both sides. So, hey, Al, give it to us again, will you?
I'd love to see it again, man. I really would. Yeah, that's a good one, man. Moving forward here,
we're going to get into Chris Ariola, and this is what I'm talking about as far as gift scoring is concerned.
My favorite fighter, of course, as everybody knows. Oh my God, this guy is such a waste of talent, man. This guy.
Let me tell you what he
came in. What was his weight on this fight? It was like
236.
Yeah, he looked good because a couple of fights ago he was coming in at 260, 270.
Yeah,
and, I mean he looked better. Put it that way, he looked a lot better than he has in the past. But it's all over for him. You know what I'm saying? He should have looked like this when he fought Klitschko the first time.
Well, I think the results still would have been the same, you know.
Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, but when you don't train, you don't know, you know. So, yeah. Travis Kaufman versus Chris Ariola. Chris Ariola earned a split decision victory over Travis Kaufman in a 12-round heavyweight showdown that lived up to the pre-fight trash talk between the former sparring partners.
And I don't know how Ariola constantly keeps getting these gift decisions. Because he lost this fight, he lost the Fred Cassie fight. I mean, what kind of pictures does he have on somebody at the PBC, for God's sake?
He's got pictures of somebody, I tell you that. I don't know who, but he's got somebody. He's probably got Al or something like with some cheerleaders or something. I don't know.
My God.
You know, Kaufman knocked him down in the third round. And Chris Ariola started out strong in the first two rounds.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, I thought that Kaufman actually came on the second part of that first round.
Yeah.
I thought that, you know, both fighters, you know, like I said, Chris Ariola started off strong, and I was really surprised he started off that fast because it was a 12-round fight because, you know, your stamina issues and everything like that. I was surprised he started off that quick. I think he was trying to get him out of there. But, you know, Kaufman really wasn't having any of it, you know. He got touched up a little bit, but in the third round, dropped Ariola. With a big combination to the head and body. Ariola goes down, takes Kaufman's shorts with him. He's going down. He grabs his shorts and then pulls them down. He clearly didn't do it on purpose. It was just one of those things. It was kind of funny. But the knockdown slowed Ariola down. Kaufman won five rounds between three and nine, displaying excellent footwork and body punching. After a low blow by Kaufman in round nine, Ariola took several minutes to recover before the referee continued action. The extra time appeared to give Ariola a second wind as he finished strong and closed the fight with an impressive performance in the last three rounds. The split decision was as narrow as it could be, with the two judges scoring the bout 114-113 for Ariola, the other judge scoring it the same for Kaufman.
You know, like we said with Figueroa, a DeMarco fight, I wouldn't mind seeing this one again.
I don't want to see Ariola again, man. This is not a bad fight to have again. I thought Kaufman won this fight. I don't think he was robbed, though. Yeah, I heard a couple of people talking and saying that Kaufman was robbed.
No, I'm not going to call it a robbery, but when you give somebody 5 minutes to recover from a low blow, take that 5 minutes away, and it might have been a completely different fight, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
But no, Ariola is a waste of time. Granted, I'm not supporting seeing him on our TV, but I want to see somebody put him away and get him out of our picture.
Yeah, I think so too. I tell you what, man, he's just done. And you know, unfortunately, he looked good. I mean, physically looked better than he has. But the problem is, like I said, man, it's the sparring part. The guy Kaufman said it prior to the fight. He said, you know, he may be in good shape, but it's too late for him now.
Yep.
It's late. And he's right. He's right on the money. It's too late for you. This
and
is
you
the
know,
kind of stuff you should have done early in your career. And now you want to take it seriously.
Even if we don't see Ariel and Kaufman again, I think Travis Kaufman has earned another fight on TV.
Yeah, I would like to see, because to me, Kaufman was just as much of a winner in this fight, man. I'll be honest. Even though he didn't win the fight, he won the fight.
You know what I mean? Look, I want to see somebody take out Dominic Brazil. So as far as I'm concerned, put Kaufman in against him.
I think that's a good fight, you know.
And also, like I said yesterday, everybody was talking up Anthony Joshua. Well, I put out yesterday, and I'll put it out here today. If Anthony Joshua is the next best thing to slice bread, which we'll get into later, but put Joshua in against Brazil, because frankly, I'm not impressed with the former Olympian Dominic Brazil. He's been handed one marshmallow after another. Put him in against somebody that can actually punch back, and let's see what this supposed Olympian is made of, because, frankly, I don't think he's made of a whole lot.
No, I don't either. I don't either, to be honest with you. Also on the undercard of this one is Victor Ortiz. Victor Ortiz fought a guy named Gilberto Sanchez Leon. And, you know, I got to be honest, man, I'm not a big Ortiz guy, but he looked good. He looked good. He was returning from a year-long layoff. And, you know, I thought he looked good. It was an 8-round fight, and, you know, he did what he was supposed to do. He was dominating, dominated the fight. You know, how did you think he looked?
Like I said, again, I'll go back to something else I said. He looked good, but he needs more rounds, so I want to see him in more fights. He was talking, he wanted the winner of Garcia Guerrero after the fight, and I'm sorry, you have to earn that kind of thing. You've been out of the ring for a year, you need a couple more fights, plus he's with Tim Bradley's former trainer. Allow him to make the changes in you that he needs to make, because you've got work to do. You don't deserve a big fight yet. You need a couple more fights like this.
You know what's interesting is I think that's a good fight. I think that Victor Ortiz versus one of those two guys is a good fight. But I agree with you. I agree with you. He hasn't earned that. That's a spot you got to earn, man. You can't just, you know, come back from acting and stuff and then go to the top spot. And I'll be honest, man, I was surprised that Ortiz didn't get this guy out of there. You know,
Erica, that's why I'm saying he needs rounds, because had he been more active, he might have gotten this dude out of there. I think the reason why he didn't is because, you know, when you take off a year, you need to get all the ring rust and stuff out. And so I think in his next fight, if they schedule it, say, within the next 2 or 3 months, he'll be in better shape, and he'll be able to take his next opponent out of there. But don't be talking big names, because you haven't earned that right. You've been away. So
yeah, if I were Ortiz, I would get back in there against somebody, you know, make an impressive showing, and then try to get a couple fights quick.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Stay busy. Stay busy.
Yeah.
You know, fight again in February or March.
Stay busy. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and try to get those, because those names will be there, but you got to earn the right to get them, you know what I mean?
And look, I know we're going to talk about it when it comes up later on next year, but I firmly believe that Danny Garcia is going to put Robert Guerrero asleep. You know, I don't think Guerrero has anything left, and I think Guerrero is tailor-made to be a punching bag, and if Danny is supposed to be the swift one and supposed to be the real deal, then he needs to give Robert Guerrero a sleeping pill.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let me talk about the referee for just a second in this fight, the Victor Ortiz fight. I thought he did a horrible job. He called a knockdown when Ortiz clearly hit Sanchez in the back of the head. That was clearly a foul. Take that out of the equation. Okay. Then immediately after that, he took a point away from him for holding. Took a point away from Leon for holding. I thought that was absurd. I mean, you know, it was toward the end of the round anyway. Number one, it was toward the end of the round. But number two, it was not excessive holding. I was shocked when they broke him. I was like, when he grabbed his hand, it was almost like they were fighting. He grabbed his hand and it took a point away. I'm like, for what?
Well, like I've said on this show previously, why the hell do you keep scheduling shows in Texas? Texas is a horrible commission for boxing. Get you know, quit having fights in Texas. This commission needs to be overhauled.
And what did you say, 39 fights in Texas next year?
Yeah, that's what the PBC has next year already scheduled.
Well, they ought to take some of that money that they're earning there and invest it in the commission over there to get some better people.
Because, Mike, that commission is absolutely horrible. I mean, that's all I can say. Texas is, look, I love Texas. Texas is a, you know, nice place. I've been there a few times, but not for a fight. I mean, the rumor I hear that Golovkin is supposed to be fighting in February or March in Cowboy Stadium. I don't want any more fights in Texas. They haven't earned the privilege.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Now let's talk about the Terrell Gachet, who was on the undercard, who fought friend of the show Sid El Harak. This was a good one too, man. Terrell Gachet kept his perfect record intact, defeating Sid El Harak in a 10-round middleweight fight. Gachet recorded a knockdown in the second round. I didn't think that was a knockdown. He spun him around, he fell down, and again, I think it was the same referee from the Ortiz fight, called it a knockdown. Clearly not a knockdown. I didn't think it was a knockdown, but whatever. But either way, man, Terrell Gachet dominated here, won just about every round here. He didn't overwhelm, you know, he won the rounds, but he didn't really overwhelm. Sid is a good fighter. He's a good defensive fighter. He's a good, he's the kind of fighter that can make you look bad, you know. And I didn't think that, Gachet didn't, like, overwhelm him or whatever. He won every round, but it wasn't like an overwhelming kind of, you know, where he was dominant every round, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
But, you know, where does Gachet go from here? He talked about having a top 10 opponent. Any names?
No. They were interviewing Earl Spence during the fight. Earl Spence was the one that kept talking about top 10 opponents. But I don't know where Gachet goes from it. But, you know, Gachet might be a perfect candidate for somebody like Peter Quillin recovering from the knockout. What do you think?
Whew. I don't know if I would put Gachet in against Quillin right now.
Well, I'm thinking coming off of a loss, and then the PBC could find out how good Gachet really is.
Yeah, I think Gachet still has some work to do, man. I really do. I think Gachet has a couple more fights before he goes into top 10 mode.
Okay, well, let's see. Who they have over there on the middleweight side? Because it is a middleweight division.
Why don't they match him up against Eric Bonet, who's a 140 pounder, and they just fight him at any weight they want? You know,
God no.
I don't know, but I think that he does need some more seasoning before he goes in. He's clearly a polished fighter. I mean, he really is. He looks like a really good fighter.
When you ask about these things, I have to think about the politics of boxing and who's with who. And
don't you? You find yourself doing that too? I do too, because. You know, people will ask, you know, what do you think this guy's next? Wouldn't this be a good fight? And they'll throw out two names, and I'm like, immediately that fight can't happen. You know?
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to think of here. Okay, who do they have on the middleweight side that, you know?
It's funny, like, you talk to guys at work and stuff, and they're like, well, what about this guy and this guy? I'm like, that fight can't happen. Why not? It can't happen, you know? It just won't happen, you know? Just trust me on this, you know?
I do it all the time, Eric, when somebody mentions something. Sorry.
Yeah.
Try it again, you know.
Right. What? Right. That ain't going to work, man. That ain't going to work.
So, to answer your question, I honestly don't have any idea.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how many is with the PBC and who they could fix him up with.
Yeah, and outside of top 10, you know, because like I said, man, I don't think he's ready just yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think he's ready for... You know, that kind of action just yet, man.
Well, I was thinking...
He's ready. He's ready to go.
Well, he openly called out Keith Thurman. And, of course, Keith Thurman has been hiding from Sean Porter.
What's going on with Keith Thurman? I mean, this guy, he wants to fight Mayweather. That's it. And that's, like, completely it. Mayweather's gone. Don't worry about it. He's out now.
That's why Ken and Sean have been doing so many interviews talking about him and trying to make Keith look bad. They're trying to get him to actually sign the contract. And for whatever reason, Keith is not doing it. So It's not that Ken and Sean are being bad guys here. That they're just trying to get the guy to sign, you know, because that's who Sean wants to fight. Well, Earl wants to fight him too, so, you know.
Right. I mean, I don't know, you know, look, man, yeah, Spence wants to fight him, Porter wants to fight him. You're the champ. I mean, he's got to fight somebody.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to fight somebody soon, I would think, you know. I mean, I don't know what's going on with him or why he's not.
And of course, you talk about Mayweather being gone. Well, that may not act, and that may not necessarily be the case, because I will cover this more in news and rumors. But the rumor I hear, if Danny Garcia demolishes Robert Guerrero, he will fight Floyd in May.
Ah, that's a horrible fight.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. That's an awful fight.
I totally agree, Eric, but that's the rumor I keep hearing, so.
That's a terrible. If that's true, that's a terrible fight, man. Mayweather should just stay retired. I don't want to watch him fight again.
I don't think anybody does, but you wanted to know who number 50 was going to be? There you go.
No, not really. I'll pass.
don't be surprised if that's, especially if Canelo doesn't come to an agreement with Golovkin or somebody else to take that date away, May 7th.
Right. Yeah, that, and we'll talk about that. That fight's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
So let's go across the pond here. Let's talk about your boy for a minute, Anthony Joshua, the next heavyweight to be. Joshua versus Dillian Whyte.
Now, Eric, you've seen him fight. I've never had the chance to see him fight.
Let me tell you what. Anthony Joshua has fought 15 times. I have seen a majority of those fights. I know Anthony Joshua very well, yeah.
Now, is he deserving all this talk from people on the Internet? And because it's mainly the UK people that are...
Yeah, well, they're excited about him for good reason, man.
Yeah.
He's a good fighter. Problem is he hasn't fought anybody.
Yeah,
I mean, he really hasn't. I mean... You know, he really hasn't. And, I mean, you know, people were saying the same thing about Deontay Wilder, but Deontay Wilder had 35 fights or something like that.
You 33 know, before he got the title
shot. Right. I mean, this guy's got 15 fights. You know what I mean? 15 knockouts, 15 fights, 15 knockouts.
And
He looks very good, though.
And you're talking about Derek Chisora possibly in April.
Yeah.
Now, I've never seen Chisora fight either.
Oh, you never saw him? Yeah, Chisora's okay. He's past his prime, though. He's done.
Yeah. So, why do the people in the UK want to continue setting this guy up against people he can beat? Why don't you bring him over here and fight people like Dominic Brazil and get him more exposure?
Well, I mean, the same reason Kell Brook doesn't come over here. I mean, they keep him over there because, you know, he can make, I think, number one, he could probably make more money over there.
Do you realize this whole card over there was pay-per-view for people who lived in the UK?
Was it really?
Yeah, it was.
That was a pay-per-view card?
Yes, it was.
Wow. I mean, they had names on it, but names weren't fighting anybody.
Yeah,
I mean, Chris Eubank and Gary O'Sullivan. Gary O'Sullivan, seriously?
Yeah, no. Trust me, UK people talked to us yesterday, and they said they had to pay for it.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy talk right there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Anthony Joshua. He scored a 7th-round KO over previously unbeaten Dillian Whyte. On Saturday night at the O2 in London. You know, Joshua was rocked in the second round, or both Joshua and Whyte were rocked in the second round. Joshua, who had never gone longer than 3 rounds, was in command, and they knocked out Whyte in round 7, about 127 into round 7. He looked really good. I didn't expect, but, you know, I've seen Dillian Whyte fight before. There was nothing that I saw in Dillian Whyte that led me to believe that this was going to be competitive.
Right.
Now, to Joshua's credit, and this is why I do like Joshua, he stated after the fight that he made some mistakes that he wouldn't be able to make against upper-level competition.
Right.
He said, so when he ups his game, he's got to be tighter. And I like that. I like that a lot. And he said the title's there for him, but not right now. He said the title is still a long way away. And I like that, too, because he's realistic. You know, he doesn't say, well, yeah, my next fight's going to be for the title, blah, blah, blah. He's very realistic about where he is. He's very realistic about who he is.
Well, I wonder if the British European public are building this dude up So he's a possible opponent down the road for Fury, so they can have another Wembley Stadium
well,
kind of deal.
They are. They absolutely are. And that's why, you know, they're really building him up in London or in the UK.
Yeah.
You know, he's being really built up over there because that's a big fight. I mean, you know, again, with the Klitschko fight, Klitschko Fury, I don't see anything in that first fight that's going to be any different than the second fight.
No.
It's going to be a long, boring fight where Fury wins.
Yeah, and you know. Oh, by the way, HBO said they're not interested in the rematch. They're not going to show it.
Shocking, you know.
And Klitschko's got a contract with HBO, so.
That's silly. I mean, I'll be honest, man, that's a silly move on HBO's part. It's just silly. It's a heavyweight
I don't know if that's a Ken Hirschman deal before he walks out the door or what, but
yeah, I'm glad they're getting rid of him.
Yeah.
But
that's
a silly move though. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It's silly.
Yeah.
You know, it sells out. What they got 55,000 people watching a fight in Germany.
Yeah,
and we're not interested.
And of course, Wembley holds at least 80,000 because
right.
That's what it held for Groves and Frotch. So you know. Come on.
And chances
people.
Are is, I mean, you know, it may break that record, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows? Or tie it
and,
or break it or something like
and
that.
And look,
I mean,
HBO, instead of having your crew in the studio, put their asses on the plane and send them over there.
It's just disrespectful. I mean, it really is. I mean, to not show that fight, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Showtime will pick it up, but I mean, that's great. So you got Tyson Fury, who's a new champion. So instead of getting him on your network, you're just going to say, no, I don't want him. You're an idiot because there's big fights now in the heavyweight division, especially with Anthony Joshua, Deontay Wilder. There's big fights in the division, and they're doing the Brian Jennings Luis Ortiz fight. Yeah, let's put that one on, but not.
Well, I'm hoping that when January 1st hits, that decision is reversed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree. That's just stupid.
Okay.
You know, that's why Hirschman's on his way out. All right?
Yeah.
But,
no, I feel at a disadvantage here talking about a guy that I've never seen, and so many people wanted to talk about him.
He's really good. Let me tell you what. He's really good. He's got good technique. He's got good speed. He's got good power. He's 15-15, 15 knockouts or whatever. So, clearly, he's got some good power. And he's beaten everybody that's been put in front of him fairly easily. Like I said, he hasn't gone over three rounds.
But I keep telling people, put him on our TV so we know what we're seeing.
Right.
You know?
And I mean, you could say, hey, you know, well, he hasn't fought anybody, and I have said he hasn't fought anybody, and that's true.
Yeah.
But he's done what he's supposed to do with the competition he's given. And
okay.
You don't want to rush him. You know, this is a guy that's fresh out of the Olympics. You don't want to. You don't want to rush this guy. This is a good prospect here. You don't rush good prospects. You let them develop, and you develop them slow. And pretty soon he's going to be ready for prime time soon enough. And if you want him to be a champion one and done, then you rush him. But if you want him to have a long stay as champion, a la Klitschko or a la Lewis.
Yeah.
This is what you need to do, and they're taking their time with him, and that's what they need to do.
Well, that's why I say bring him over here, let him get rid of Brazil, because, you know.
I think that's a good fight. I think that's a very good fight.
Yeah.
I would like to see him have two or three more fights before that fight, but I think he could take Brazil out now.
Every time I've watched most of Dominic Brazil's fights, and I haven't seen anything yet that I would call, okay, he's good.
Right.
So far, it's like, okay, you've skated by. What's next? You know?
Yeah, there's nothing about Brazil that really impresses you, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that Joshua would completely dismantle him. But I also think it may be a little bit too early to be talking about that fight, too.
Well, you know? I'm saying just if you're his management over there.
Eddie Hearn, by the way.
yeah, I know. He needs to come and meet his future wife, Kathy Duva.
Right.
You know, because, but no, I'm saying if you want to build him up publicity-wise, put him on our TV over here against Brazil. Let him demolish Brazil. And then if you want to go back to your UK plans and have him fight people like Jezora, go right ahead. But, you know, you need to show him to a bigger audience against a guy that everybody knows, so we can see what the hype is all about. Does that make sense?
I think so. And I tell you, I don't know, you know, like I said, I would like to see him on TV over here, like you said. You know, whether he's in England or whether he's here, I don't care where he fights, but put him on our TV.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that these cards, you know what, if Eddie Hearn had a brain in his head, he would start putting these on TV. I'll put them on American television so his fighters can make more money, you know? I don't understand that for the life of me, you know?
Yeah, no. Now next week, and we'll get into this in the upcoming fights, this coming Saturday, the 19th, you talk about the Ortiz-Jennings fight. Well, we're also going to get to see, courtesy of Showtime, thank you, Showtime, Saunders Lee. So why don't HBO and Showtime spend more money and pick up these European fights?
Right.
We need to see these people. Because, like I said, I don't like to be unprepared and talk about somebody I've never seen.
You know, they got such good talent over there, you know, and the UK fighters. You know, Kell Brook. Kell Brook's one of the best fighters out there, and nobody knows who he is over here, you know. You know, you got such good fighters. Kell Brook, Tyson Fury, you know.
Well, there's Anthony 11 there's 11 current British champions.
Eubank Jr. is another one, and he fought also too on this undercard. It was a good card. Pay-per-view though, man. Come on.
Yeah, it was pay-per-view in the UK. Yeah.
Yeah. So in a WBA title eliminator, whatever that means now, because trust me, that means nothing anymore.
Okay.
Chris Eubank Jr. punished Gary O'Sullivan for 7 rounds before O'Sullivan's corner pulled their guy out.
Is he middleweight or super middleweight?
Middleweight.
Okay, that means he's another possible opponent for Triple G because Triple G holds the WBA.
Yeah, and I tell you, he's been calling out. He's been talking about Triple G a little bit lately. Eubank Jr. has. And I tell you, Eubank Jr. is a good fighter, man. And he doesn't get a lot of credit, man. He's a good, good fighter.
Is he ready for Golovkin?
I don't know too many people that are ready for Golovkin, to be honest
okay,
with you.
Okay, okay, all right.
But you know what? I tell you who I'd like to see him and Canelo fight. I think that would be a dynamite fight.
You just want to see Eubank Sr. in his tuxedos.
Hey, anytime I can get to see that, that's great news for me, man. I tell you that.
He's right.
My man. I got a man crush on Eubank Jr. Or Eubank Sr., not Jr.
Yeah, there you go.
It is.
All right.
But, yeah, he looked really good. And, Eubank Jr. looked really good in that fight, man. He really did. I didn't expect too much about Gary Sullivan. Gary Sullivan was really mugging with him and everything like that. He kissed him at the weigh-ins and everything at the face-off.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, but I tell you what, I didn't expect much out of Sullivan. O'Sullivan, that is, but Eubank Jr. just overwhelmed him, man. He's a good fighter, and
Eubank Jr. said after the fight he wants a rematch with Saunders. That's what he wants.
He's silly, man. That's a silly thing because if I was his management, Saunders' name wouldn't even come out of his mouth unless Saunders wins that fight.
If Saunders wins
that fight, then I'm calling him out. But and if Saunders doesn't have a title, I'm not going anywhere near him. For what? You know?
Well, because Saunders beat him.
Right.
He wants
to
avenge that, you know.
Yeah, who cares, man? You go after the, you know, right now you're in a prime position now where, you know, like I said, this is a WBA eliminator. You just want it.
Yeah,
you know?
don't pull an Alexander Povetkin.
Yeah, don't be silly about it. You know what I mean? World lightweight title, WBA interim world light, another WBA interim title. Ismael Barrasso crushed Kevin Mitchell in 5 rounds. Barrasso was credited with a knockdown in round 4, scored another one in round 5, and then blasted Mitchell out of there. The time was 2:40.
Now, let's see. Barrasso, WBA 140. Is that 140?
Yeah, let's see. No, lightweight, 135.
135. I forget who the champion is there. Okay.
Yeah, let me see here.
Yeah.
I want to say Linares, but I'm not 100%.
Yeah, it could be.
Let's see.
WBA.
Lightweight. WBA.
Yeah.
135. Anthony Kralla.
Okay.
That would be a good. Okay, man, that would set up a good fight because Kralla just won.
And they're already talking about that now that he won. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good fight, man. All right, I can get behind that.
That's right. Okay.
All right, let's talk about your boy Tony Bellew. Won a 12-round unanimous decision over Matheus Mastrnak. To claim the vacant European cruiserweight title, and you know how I feel about cruiserweights.
And part of his sparring was done during the movie of Creed. He knocked
That's
out,
right.
He knocked out Michael B. Jordan. So.
We'll talk about that. That was great, man.
Yeah.
I got the video posted on Ringside Reporter, man. It's awesome.
Okay.
All right. Also, too, man, this shocked me, man. I did not expect this at all. Previously unbeaten 2012 Olympic gold medalist Luke Campbell, lost a 12-round split decision against Yvonne Mendy. Mendy knocked down Campbell in round 5. Shocked. I was shocked,
I've never heard
man.
Of Yvonne Mendy.
No, me neither. So, yeah, this guy was clearly set up. But you know what, man? It's tough because Luke Campbell had 12 fights.
Mm-hmm.
Mendy coming in had 37, 38 fights.
Okay.
That's quite a despair. I mean, I don't care. You know, and Mendy was 33-4.
Yeah.
You know, with one draw, 16 KOs.
Okay.
But, you know, clearly that guy's got some experience. That's a tough fight for him, you know.
Well,
so,
basically, this was a step-up fight for Campbell to see what he had.
Yeah.
He failed the test.
Yeah,
yeah.
He definitely failed.
Yeah. Okay.
Also on the undercard here, Paulie Malignaggi, Robbie's boy, appointed Antonio Muscatiello over 12 rounds to claim the vacant EU welterweight title, whatever that is. Are they European
and,
title?
This is how ridiculous European situation is. After the fight, they're talking about Pauly and Brook. Now, look, I've seen Pauly fight. I've seen Pauly fight Danny Garcia. He's done.
He's
won two fights since. I thought he, come on, what's going on, Pauly? Are you retired? Are you going to fight? I mean,
that's not a good idea, man.
I don't get this, but yeah, they're talking about Brook and Malignaggi. Come on, man.
In his second fight in 7 days, heavyweight Derek Chisora stopped journeyman Jacob Gospic in round 3. His second fight in 7 days. My gosh, that guy's busy.
Now, Eric, would that be allowed over here? I don't think so, would it?
I don't know. It depends. I think it depends on the medicals. Because if you're cut, obviously if you're cut or roughed up or they think you have a concussion or something crazy, then you get, it just depends on the medicals. You know, I think that you can fight, you know, I actually think that would be allowed here. It just depends on the medicals, you know what I mean?
Okay, interesting. 2 wins in 7 days. Okay.
Right. So that leads me to my next one, man. And Paulie Malignaggi, if you're listening to the podcast, which, why wouldn't you be, you know? I need you to pay attention to this next segment here.
For all older fighters, please pay attention to the following, because this is how you're going to wind up. Let's talk about Rush and Roy. Go ahead,
right.
Eric.
Enzo Macarinelli? Enzo Macarinelli versus Roy Jones Jr. Former cruiserweight champion Enzo Macarinelli scored a brutal 4th-round knockout over a 46-year-old ring legend Roy Jones Jr. on Saturday night at the Ice Palace in Moscow, Russia. Macarinelli floored Jones with an uppercut and then laid him out face first with a follow-up barrage. Time was 1:59. Let me tell you what, I'm not sure if you saw this fight or not.
I saw the fight
in its entirety. And let me tell you what, it was somewhat competitive. I'm not even going to say it was competitive, but it was somewhat competitive for the first couple rounds. But you could see, Macarinelli was clearly the better fighter, going into the fight. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was
kind
of just a matter of time before it caught up with him. And he laid him out with a right hook that dropped him. And then he got up, and then the two fighters came together again. He got him on the ropes again, and it was a barrage of punches, man. And that left hook, it was in a combination, and that was a right hook that hit him again because he was open for that right hook. He hit him with that right hook again and just put the lights out. Roy went down face first. It was awful.
Do you think this is finally going to wake him up to realize that he can't fight anymore, or are we going to see this again?
I think he's going to go. Yeah, I really do. I think it's time for him to retire. And I think he will retire this time. I know one of the Russian promoters were urging him to retire and stuff like that. He's had a great career. He's a legend in the sport. And, you know, you hate seeing legends go down like this, you know what I mean? But in boxing, it always seems like this is the way it happens.
I have never understood how some of these guys can continue. I don't get it. I mean, Paulie two fights ago told everybody, hey, I've ended my career in Brooklyn. This has been great. And he's won two fights since. What's the deal here?
Right. I think, you know, that's the other thing with Paulie. I mean, you talk about Paulie. I mean, you know, he got demolished by Garcia, you know.
Yeah.
And now they're talking about him fighting Brooke. Are you seriously?
Well, believe it or not, that's the rumor.
But I mean, like, seriously, though, you know? I mean, Kell Brook would kill that guy.
Sean Porter beat the living daylights out of Paulie Malignaggi.
Right. And I've never seen anybody do that to Malignaggi.
And then
Garcia goes and does it to Malignaggi, you know what I mean?
Well, I believe Porter's was more impressive because he just, you know. Yeah, when have you ever seen Paulie Malignaggi lay on the ropes, man? It's like, you know, what the hell's going on? I mean, I don't understand how. Look, I guess if they pass their physicals, you have to give them a license to fight, but there has to be some kind of rule. Once you reach a certain age, you're not allowed to fight anymore. I mean, something's got to be done here.
Yeah, I mean, because you don't want to see any more of these. I mean, he could have really got hurt in that fight, and I don't think he was seriously hurt, but, you know, it could have been a lot worse for him.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, the guy Macaronelli, he's nobody to fool around with. You know, the guys that Roy was fighting and the guys that Paulie's fighting in the last two fights, yeah, they're nowhere on that level, man.
Right.
And then you step up that level like that, you know, I mean, that's, you know, come on, man.
And
the promoters really ought to be taking the task for sanctioning this fight. Or
yeah.
Not sanctioning it, but putting this fight together.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Roy, you have a job with HBO. It looks like you might be a decent trainer. Why the hell do you need to put the gloves on anymore?
Right.
You know, what's the point?
Yeah, I agree. And Roy Jones is such a class guy, such a nice guy. I mean, it's you hate to see this. You know what I mean? You hate to see him wind up like this.
I mean, Eric, he could wind up like a Pritchard Cologne if he keeps going.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason for him to fight anymore. None.
No,
there was no reason for him to take this fight.
No.
You know, I mean, no reason for it at all, you know. And he's such a class guy. We were at the fights. When they came to town, Cincinnati, HBO came to town, and it was him, Max Kellerman, the usual announce team or whatever,
yeah,
and Lampley.
Right.
And I remember we had, like, ringside-type seats. And Roy Jones was there, and there was a whole big group around Roy Jones. Max Kellerman, of course, is saying, okay, everybody go back to their seats and try to send everybody back because everybody wants to see Roy, not Max, you know.
Yeah.
And the telecast was getting ready to start. Roy Jones actually took the camera from somebody and said, yeah, because he asked him, can you take a picture? He said, absolutely, you know. Posed with a guy, and this was when security and everybody was actually getting people out of there. Roy Jones took him. And, you know, kind of stopped security, took the guy, took a picture with him. I mean, it was such a cool thing because
yeah.
He didn't have to do that. You know what I mean?
No.
And the Roy Jones that you see on TV is the same Roy Jones you're going to see in person. You know what I mean? He's such a nice guy. And he'll go out of his way for people.
And apparently Paulie does the same thing at fights,
yeah.
From what I hear.
Yeah.
You know?
You know? I mean, it was a really cool thing. You
yeah.
know? And you don't want to see him end up like that, man. I don't want to see a fight like that. Nobody wants to see Roy Jones go out like that, you know?
No.
Especially when he doesn't have to. That guy's a legend. He was the best fighter, could be considered the best fighter of all time.
He was the best fighter for, what, two decades almost?
Yeah. I mean, you could consider him conceivably the best fighter of all time. You know what I mean? I mean, he's done, you know, anybody who goes from the middleweight title to the heavyweight title, I mean, that's, you know...
Well, granted, the guy that he beat for the heavyweight title, it was basically set up for him because, let's face it, John Ruiz was not a legitimate heavyweight champion. He just happened to pick a lucky night and...
You know, I don't know about that. I mean, he had defended his title a number of times, I thought, you know?
I thought Roy was his first and only defense, but I could be wrong.
I don't believe so. I don't believe so. No, I don't believe he was.
Okay.
Or maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
You know, but I just looked at John Ruiz as nothing special, and I knew when that fight got made, it was tailor-made for Roy. You
yeah.
Know?
Yeah. But, I mean, still, going up that kind of weight, you know, you're
yeah.
looking at, you know, big deal,
yeah.
man. So,
yeah. No, Roy, come on, pack it in, brother.
I agree, man. Yeah. So that's what happened one night in Russia.
Right, and Paula, you need to do the same thing. Get this ridiculous talk about Brooke. I mean, come on, Cal Brook will Manny Pacquiao you, man, like Juan Manuel Marquez did.
He won't have any shot against Cal Brook. He won't have any shot against Cal Brook, man. No way. All right, so let's talk about Nonito Donaire fought this weekend, too. Nonito Donaire versus Cesar Juarez.
And look, Donaire won the fight, but he didn't have much left. Anyway, go ahead and give him the details.
Yeah, Donaire dropped Juarez twice in the fourth round and then went on to win a unanimous decision. And I thought this fight was a little bit closer than I thought that. Again, like you, I thought he won the fight. I thought that Donaire won the fight, but he didn't look all that good. And his trainer even said that Donaire was in really good shape, and if he wasn't, he would have been knocked out.
Now, is Nonito 122 or 126?
I want to say he's 126, but I'm not 100% on that.
He's tailor-made for whoever wants to steal that title at either weight class.
Yeah, let's see if I can find him here, Nonito. Yeah, I agree with that. Completely agree with that he's tailor-made.
Because at 126, there's killers up there. Gary Russell, Leo Santa Cruz.
126, yeah, he sure is. Yeah. 126, yeah. Russell, Selby. Lee Selby. I would like to see him fight Lee Selby. I think that's a good fight.
And Lomachenko,
No way. I mean, he was completely dismantled by Rigondeaux.
This title is tailor made for whoever wants to steal it.
That's right.
That tells you what I think of Nonito Donaire. Nicholas Walter stole the rest of his life away, okay?
Yeah, 117, 109, 116, 110 twice, all for Donaire. But this was not as lopsided as the scores make it sound, man. This was a tough, tough fight, man.
No, it was a lot closer than those scores indicate. Anyway, Felix Verdejo on to better things. It was a second-round stoppage of his opponent.
Jacinilson Dos Santos.
Yeah. I'm glad we don't have to say that name anymore.
Right. What do you think of Felix Verdejo, man? I think he looks like a really great prospect, man.
The only thing that concerns me about Felix is he's got hand issues, and I think those hand issues are going to derail. They could possibly derail any good career that he might have. So you need to be very careful with who you put him in against, because that's why this fight was delayed or whatever, because he's got serious hand problems.
Right. Yeah. And you wonder. I mean, especially with him, with the knockouts and everything like that. I mean, Mayweather has hand problems too, but he was never really a knockout guy, and so did Pernell Whitaker. But he was never really a knockout guy.
Yeah.
But you take a guy like Verdejo, man, who's got some pop, man. That could be some big.
He's going to have to learn to fight without. I hate to say this because I don't abdicate this, but he's going to have to learn to fight without knocking people out. If he wants to have a long career, because I think the hand problems could derail any possible legendary status that he's trying to build.
I would agree with that, yeah. Yeah, so he better get him taken care of or whatever he's got to do. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, get with Whitaker or somebody that can teach you how to box so you don't have to depend on your power, you know.
All right, let's talk about Sullivan Barrera versus Caro Murat. The IBF light heavyweight eliminator, Sullivan Barrera, scored a fifth-round TKO over Caro Murat on Saturday night in Glendale Civic Auditorium. Barrera dropped Murat at the end of round four and got the TKO in round five with a barrage of punches. The time was about 25 seconds into.
Carl Murat is the one that took Hopkins 12 rounds.
Yeah. Now, he complained. Murat said it was a quick stoppage. He was getting taken to task, man. I didn't think it was a big deal. Barrera is now the mandatory challenger, the IBF for main event stablemate Sergey Kovalev, who is at ringside watching. But Kovalev has a mandatory, I guess it goes to the WBO, I want to say. He's the unified, so he's got to go to the WBO. They're next. So they're going to see if a deal can be worked out so that they can keep the belts and everything like that and everything goes in.
Yeah, okay. So. Well, and Kovalev has a nice sparring session, I call it. against Pascal, because that fight ain't going to change from the first time around. So, you know.
No, I don't think so either. Why? I mean, why? Because Pascal stunned him once or twice in the fight?
I don't know how John Pascal is living such a good life. He does not deserve this fight.
No, but, you know, who else were they going to put in there with him? You know what I mean?
Well, get rid of his ridiculous promoter, and we could see Adonis Stevenson, okay?
Right.
Come on.
Now, also on the other card of the Murat fight, friend of the show, welterweight Francisco Santana, my brother, scored a 6-round KO over Armin Ovsepian. Ovsepian? I don't know.
Okay. It was Francisco Vargas, I believe, who fought the Japanese dude.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
A barrage of punches forced referee Zach Young to stop the fight at 237 of the sixth round. So congratulations, Francisco Santana. He's back on track, winning. Looks good, man. Looks really good. All right. So you want to talk about, there was some show boxing I didn't actually catch. I didn't even
The only fighter worth talking about is Regis Progre, the New Orleans guy, 140-pound division. And I forget the name of the opponent he fought, but he looked really, really good. It was an eighth-round stoppage. I think Progre's got a bright future, but, of course, at 140, that division has kind of opened up. You've got Terrence Crawford, and you've got Adrian Broner, and you've got other people there. Him and Broner would be a good fight if Adrian's got the guts, but, of course, he's fighting actually Theo Payne, so, you know.
Broner doesn't fight anybody ranked. You know that.
Yeah, so, yeah. But, no, Progre's got a bright future. I liked what I saw Friday night, and sorry you missed it, because that was the main event, and that was the one worth watching, so. And I love that series. They had 8 more fighters this year graduate from Showbox and become champions. Now they've had a total in 15 years. They have a total now of 65 former fighters went on to become world champions.
That's insane. That is insane. So if you're looking for up-and-comers, man, Showbox is what to watch, that's for sure. They've always got good fighters on there, man.
And see, I love how they match them up. You don't see, well, every once in a while you'll see a complete mismatch. But see, that's what I love about this series. They put people in against the level of the opponent that they believe that they're ready for. And you get to find out about these people. HBO, the new guy there in charge, Mr. Peter Nelson, you need to pick up the mantle from Showtime and create your own series like that. And put more of your channels to use, so we don't have any more HBO Latino stuff. We English-speaking people need more fights. Come on. And by the way, work out a deal with Oscar and get those fights off of Ring TV, why don't you?
Yeah, so we can see Oscar's cousin, you know, and we can put him on
nephew.
TV now. Yeah, nephew. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's talk about Toe-to-Toe Tuesday, the Toe-to-Toe Tuesday fight last week. Another black eye for the PBC on this one. YNFL Lightning Vicente defeated Juan Dominguez by knockout in just 20 seconds into the third round. This was a tough one. Dominguez was stretchered out of the ring after this fight, which you never see in boxing, except on the PBC, of course. The good news is that he was responsive and doing okay. This has become like a regular for PBC now, where you're seeing people stretchered out of there.
I have been a supporter of the PBC because I approve anything that gives us more boxing on our TVs, but I can see where people like Steve Kim and others are totally against it, and I can see some of the reasons why. This is a prime example. How many more Pritchard clones are we going to have to see on our TVs?
Right. I agree. I don't want to see it anymore, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know, and in all fairness, I don't know that this was a mismatch. I know the guy was undefeated who went down was undefeated, but, you know.
And he was the one being hyped up as their next star in that division, and he's the one that got clocked. So, you know, I don't know if it was a mismatch or not, but it looks like one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anytime you get stretchered out of there, you got to question it, you know. I mean, you don't see too many. I mean, you really don't. I mean, how often have you seen somebody – prior to the PBC, how often have you seen people stretchered out of the ring? You don't see it. But since the PBC, I've seen them 3 times already.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I've seen Cologne. Yeah. Of course, and Cologne was in the dressing room, but you've seen this dude. And the guy that Quillen fought from Australia, he got He got stretchered out, so yeah, right. Three times.
Yeah, I mean, just insane, man. So, you know, hopefully they get their stuff together and get a new matchmaker over there, to be honest, man. Somebody.
Yeah.
You know. And again, I don't even know if PBC really makes the matches. You know, I mean, it's the promoters that make them.
You've got a connection over there. Put in a phone call, you know.
Well, quite honestly, I mean, they're going to say that they don't make the matches because that would be a conflict of interest.
Well,
you know,
we know that Al has, you know, he claims to be an advisor, but let's face it, he's his own promoter.
Right.
You know, he just uses Lou DiBella's promoting license and other people. But Al makes these matches. Come on.
All right, so let's talk about the upcoming fights coming up. Now, December 17th, that's a Thursday.
Uh-huh.
At Panama City, Panama, Louis Concepcion.
The home of Roberto Duran, who we'll talk about later.
That's right. Louis Concepcion versus Giovanni Segura, 12 rounds for Concepcion's WBA interim junior bantamweight title. Now, why do I bring this up? Because on the same card, on the undercard, Shane Mosley versus Patrick Lopez, 12 rounds, welterweights.
Oh, my God. Hey, here we go back to what I was talking about earlier.
You're paying attention in Russia, son. Come on.
I guess you have to stream this, and maybe we'll see another disaster.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I'll be catching. They're going to condense it to a Reddit file. What do they call it? Instagrams or whatever, the Vines.
There you go, yeah. And then on the 18th, we got the final Spike TV of the year.
Yeah, Denis Shafikov versus Rancis Bartholomew, 12 rounds for the vacant IBF lightweight title. If you haven't seen Bartholomew fight, you better tune in, man. This guy is for real. He is a good, good fighter.
Yeah, well, it won't be vacant any longer because I know Denis Shafikov is supposed to be a good fighter, but Bartholomew should walk away with this.
Oh, I think so too, man. Bartholomew is the truth, man. Also, too, Murat Gassiev versus Isaiah Thomas, 12 rounds as an IBF cruiserweight eliminator. You know how I feel about cruiserweights. Chris Pearson.
And Thomas looked good the last time I've seen him, so we'll see here.
Yeah, not the basketball player. This is the boxer here.
Right.
Chris Pearson will fight Aaron Garcia, 8 rounds, junior middleweights. Chris Pearson is a really good up-and-coming prospect. He's out of the money team stable.
Right.
He's from Ohio, from Dayton, Ohio, where we ran fighters here. So he's a local boy. So it should be a good fight. Looking forward to seeing him, and hopefully he'll be on the card. That's the third fight on there, so hopefully he'll be on there.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Let's see what else we got here.
And then on the 19th, we have the Billy Joe Saunders-Andy Lee fight.
Right, but on the 18th, we still, on the Friday, on Estrella TV, we have Joseph Diaz versus Hugo Partida, 10 rounds featherweights. And
now,
that'll be on Estrella TV.
There's another guy, Joseph Diaz. We should be seeing him on our TV.
I have no idea why we're not seeing that guy on TV.
Yeah. Well, it's because Oscar doesn't have a deal because Al took all the networks away. HBO, wake up. Come on.
Yeah, all the Golden Boy fighters wake up, you know.
Yeah.
At Verona, New York, HBO and HBO Latino, Louis Ortiz versus Bryant Bye-Bye Jennings for Ortiz's WBA interim heavyweight title. Why?
Look,
what is this interim heavyweight title? You had a champion.
Because they're setting up mandatories is what they're doing.
It's silly to have an interim heavyweight champion. You have a champion. Just make an eliminator.
Look, as we discovered now, Brian Jennings actually did better in April than what we thought. Okay, I seen Luis Ortiz fight in October on the Golovkin undercard. He ain't nothing. If Brian Jennings is a decent fighter like he claims to be,
it's gonna be a good fight. I'm looking forward to it.
He should take this dude out. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. And that would set him up to be a mandatory for Fury.
Yeah,
you know.
So it
there you
be
go.
Good. Also, too, on the undercard, Nicholas the Axeman Walters versus Jason Sosa, 10 rounds, junior lightweights. I like Nicholas Walters all day in that one.
Yeah, I do too. Well, Nicholas Walters is the one that took Donino Daner's rest of his boxing career away. So,
And Walters, man, you had it all your own way. All you had to do was make weight. You're fighting Lomachenko. You missed it. Now you're fighting at 130. What are you doing?
Yeah, well, you know, that fight may eventually happen because I don't see Lomachenko staying at 126 forever.
There's nobody to fight. There's nobody for him to fight. They're all on the other side of the fence, so there's nobody for him to fight.
Well, that's why I think he'll take Donaire and take that title, and then he'll move up to 130 and go with Walters.
Yeah. Gabriel Rosado of Southpaw fame is going to fight Joshua Clady. Yeah, Joshua Clady.
And thank God that'll be on HBO Latino, so I don't have to watch it because...
10 rounds, middleweights.
Look, Gabriel Rosado has eye issues. And each time he fights, it gets worse. I don't want to see this dude fight, but hopefully Joshua Clady, who doesn't have a whole lot left in the tank either, but hopefully he's got enough to put this guy in retirement. This is a fight that shouldn't even be made, if you want my honest opinion. But if I had to pick somebody, I want Clady to put Rosado in retirement. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I think Rosado gets him, though.
Well, he might, which is sad because we don't need to see this dude fighting anymore.
Right. Also, too, on the undercard, Unieski Gonzalez, who's a really good fighter, will fight Vyacheslav Shabransky, 10 rounds, light heavyweights.
And that'll be on Latino as well. So.
Right. Yuriyokis Gamboa versus Hyland Williams, 10 rounds, lightweights. They will also be on the card. So pretty good card there, man. Pretty good card. Not bad.
Yeah. But now, why can't they all be in English as well as Spanish? Hello.
Yeah, right. Now, on Showtime, across the pond in Manchester, England, Andy Lee, the big one, Andy Lee versus Billy Joe Saunders, 12 rounds for Lee's WBO middleweight title. What do you think of this one?
They're actually going to put this on Showtime Extreme, and it's going to be 5 o'clock Eastern on Saturday. I've never seen Billy Joe Saunders fight, so I have to go with who I've seen. I have to go with Andy Lee to win this title. And this is not selling Billy Joe Saunders short because obviously he's done something to earn this title shot. But I can't pick a guy I've never seen. So Saturday will be the first time I've seen him, and the rumor I hear. One of the reasons why Showtime has picked this up is because they have an agreement in place with whoever wins this fight is going to fight Danny Jacobs.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, I've seen Billy Joe Saunders, and I've seen Andy Lee. Andy Lee, there's something about Andy Lee just doesn't impress me. And, you kind of think that if Billy Joe Saunders can box his way for 12 rounds, he might win this fight.
Well, the problem you have with Andy Lee is his fighting style. He starts out behind in every fight, and he depends on his knockout punch to save him. And it saved him more times than not. So, yeah, I've never seen Saunders fight before. So if he's a boxer, he could steal his fight.
Yeah, I I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to take Saunders on this one, man.
All right, well, we can't always agree. This show would be boring, so,
that's right, that's right. And then Liam Smith versus Jimmy Kelly, 12 rounds for Smith's WBO junior middleweight title.
And we won't see that because the only fight we're going to see is a Lee fight. So.
Yeah, and there's not really much. I'm looking at the card right now. There's not really much on it. Nobody that I've ever heard of anyway. So.
And Showtime will use the Sky Sports broadcasters for this. So,
which I don't mind.
You'll get to hear those guys.
Yeah, and that's it for the weekend, man. And that's it for the weekend, and that's it for the year, it looks like.
And PBC is going to have a year-in-review show on NBC Sports Network, if anybody cares. That'll be at 9:30 on Saturday night.
Yeah, so. I saw that, so we'll check into that, too. All right, so let's see here. Let's move on to our history lesson this week. This is a good one. December 2nd, 2000, Felix Trinidad versus Fernando Vargas. This was a good fight. You remember this fight?
Yes, I do, and I love Tito going into this fight. So
you know. I did too. I was a big Trinidad guy.
Yeah.
When this fight was made, I thought Vargas was the bigger guy. I mean, he physically looked bigger, but, I didn't know how he would, I thought that Trinidad was like the better boxer, and I thought that was going to kind of carry the day for Trinidad. Man, I'll tell you what, in the first 30 seconds of this fight, the bell rings, 30 seconds into it, it looks good. Fernando Vargas is looking good, and Trinidad, of course, boxing like he usually does. 30 seconds in, catches him with a gigantic left hand, left hook, which is Trinidad's money punch.
That's right.
I mean, and I was so shocked that he got caught by this. Because, I mean, you know, you figure, you know he's going to throw that left hook. But he threw it from the outside and caught him clean. And Vargas wobbled. He did a little dance on his feet. He wobbled. And then Trinidad hit him with a flurry again. Vargas goes down 2 minutes, 30 seconds into the fight. And everybody was just shocked. He gets back up. He didn't take the eight count. He got right back up, so you knew he was hurt. And seconds later, man, Trinidad clipped him with another left, the same left hand, same left hook, same exact punch that put him down for the second time in the first round. And I thought the fight was all but over. And,
yep.
Man, was I wrong. Because I tell you what, Vargas really came back in this fight. You know, he was stunned in the first round. It clearly was a big deficit already. You're starting with a 10-7.
Yeah.
10-7 round right there at that point,
mm-hmm.
You know. So, you know, Vargas was in trouble. I think Trinidad got the second round also. But, you know, Vargas started coming back, man. And Vargas could box. You know, Vargas was from the Olympics, so you knew he could box.
And, you know, Fernando, he ended his career rather early. I mean, he didn't fight as long as most people do. He kind of left the sport early, man, but this was one of his signature fights because he actually made, if I remember correctly, he came back and made this fight extremely competitive. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. It was a very competitive fight. And in the fourth round, after Trinidad was controlling the first two rounds, Vargas came back in the third round and then came back and knocked Trinidad down in the fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was a really, it was like, my God, you know, because Trinidad would always, it wasn't uncommon for him to go down in fights.
Right.
You know, but then he got back up. But I thought Vargas was really controlling the action in the middle rounds of this fight. And I think it was around the eighth round, I'm not 100% sure, that he got caught with a low blow. Vargas got caught with a low blow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was an intentional low blow or not. It was very low. I don't know if it was an intentional low blow or not, but I know that it took the steam out of Vargas because
didn't the referee Didn't the referee take a point away or no?
I don't believe he did. I don't believe
okay.
he did.
All right.
But I know that Vargas was really coming on, really turning the tide of that fight, and after that low blow, that seemed to turn the tide back in Trinidad's favor.
Uh-huh.
And ultimately, in the 12th round, Felix Trinidad ended up knocking him out. In the 12th and final round, and man, but it was a back and forth fight from the time that fight started. 30 seconds into that fight, you knew that fight was over. You know, because Trinidad doesn't let people off the hook.
Well, you know? it kind of reminded me of this fight. Kind of reminded me of the first Pacquiao Marquez fight. Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, absolutely, it did.
Because Pacquiao knocked Marquez down, what, three times in the first round?
Yeah. I mean, that fight could have been stopped.
And meanwhile, the rest of the fight, Marquez came on and made it such a close fight, you know, we didn't know who won, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought that Marquez actually won that first fight.
Yeah.
I had him winning that first fight. I had him winning the second fight. I had him winning the third fight.
He came back from a 10-6 deficit in the first round and made that fight extremely close, you know.
It's insane, man. I tell you what, that was insane. And this fight, man, this was really one for the ages, man. It really was. This was, you know, when you saw this fight, man, it was like, man, that was a fight. And I remember that was on pay-per-view.
Yes,
and
it was.
I remember walking away from that thinking, man, that was money well spent. That was a good fight. If I had to pay for a fight, I want to see that kind of fight. That was good.
That's right. We haven't been able to say that too often. You know?
No, we really haven't, especially lately. I tell you that. Especially lately, you know, that wasn't, you know.
Although I'm not disappointed. I got my money's worth out of Triple G, so, you know.
Yeah, that was a good fight. That was a decent fight, man.
Yeah.
Very decent fight.
All right,
so let's talk about the fantasy fights here. Continuing with our fantasy lightweight tournament.
Okay.
We have Edwin Rosario in our first fight here. We got Edwin Rosario versus Battling Nelson.
Well, I'm going to go with Rosario because that's who I know. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Rosario on this one, too. Battling Nelson was from the early 1900s. You know, I mean, he was a very early fighter. And I saw, you know, some video on him, and it was very, you know, it was one of the films on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have stood a chance against Rosario. Rosario was too slick, too, you know, that style of fighting, you know, when you got that old type, bare knuckles type style of fighting, it's not going to stand up.
Nope.
And I don't care what the computer says, it's not going to stand up. Rosario won, the computer took Rosario, you're taking Rosario, I'm going to make it unanimous, Edwin Rosario. He's moving on.
That's right.
All right. All right. So Diego Corrales is the next one versus Lou Ambers. Lou Ambers, another guy. I think he was actually from the 1800s.
Again, I'm going to go with Chico because he's from around my local area, and whenever Chico put on a fight, it was worth watching. So
I'm not going to disagree with it. Lou Ambers from the 1800s. I'm sure he was great back before electricity and everything, but Diego Corrales just annihilated him. Corrales across the board. Computer takes Corrales also.
That's right.
All right. Let's go into the number three seed here. Before we go into our main event here, the number three seed, Benny Leonard versus Freddie Welch. Freddie Welch was a European champion out of England, man. He was a big deal back then.
I'm more familiar with Benny Leonard, so that's who I would go with.
But, yeah, Benny Leonard was a savage back in the day. He's rated number three for a reason on our countdown here. Benny Leonard all day over Freddie Welch. Computer takes Benny Leonard, unanimous.
Yep.
Benny Leonard, you're moving on.
Okay, these have been easy so far. Who's next?
This is a tough one, man. Shane Mosley versus Barney Ross. Barney Ross was a killer, man. He was an absolute killer.
Now, I never got to see him fight, but everything I've heard, he was an absolute killer. Did Shane lose here?
I've seen him fight a couple of times. My problem with Ross, though, is I don't think that he would have been able to stand up against Mosley's speed or power. I really don't. And I've seen Barney Ross fight. He's a very good fighter. I've seen tapes of him, obviously. He's very good. Again, you got that style difference, though. You know what I mean? You've got that style difference from the 19-whatevers to now. That's a
now,
big difference.
You know, here's the problem, folks. Here's a fighter that's featured in our fantasy fights, Shane Mosley. And what does he do? And what is he doing on Saturday?
He's taking the page out of Briggs' book and fighting in Panama.
on Thursday, What's he doing on Thursday? He's fighting. I mean, how insane is that?
We're talking about the old Shane Mosley here, back in the Sugar Shane, you know.
Yeah. So Shane moves on here.
So you take Shane?
Yep.
All right, well, we got an issue here, man, because the computer takes Ross across the board.
Oh, wow.
It was as close to being unanimous as you could possibly get.
Do you agree with that? Or I mean, because...
You know, Ross, man's a legend. Barney Ross is a legend, man, but I don't think he holds up against Shane Mosley. I'm thinking Mosley, he goes forward.
It's a split decision. Yeah, there we go.
Split decision.
All right.
So let's take a look at our brackets here, figure out where we are. All right, so Rosario moves on. Corrales moves on. So Rosario will fight Corrales in the next round.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah, Shane Mosley fights Benny Leonard in the next round. I don't know who I'm going to take. That's a good one. But next week, let me line up the fights for next week.
Okay.
Roberto Duran will face Bo Jack.
Okay.
Ike Williams will fight Roger Mayweather.
Okay.
Let me lay it down for you. I think it's the week after that, too. I don't know if we'll do these next week or not, but those two will definitely do. Carlos Ortiz versus Tony Canzoneri. Canzoneri is quickly becoming one of my favorite all-time fighters, man.
He
is a monster. Mm-hmm. Howard Davis Jr. will fight Alexis Arguello in the next round.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Pernell Whitaker versus Henry Armstrong in the next round.
Okay.
And then Hector Camacho versus Joe Gans in the next round.
Wow, okay.
So really good fights coming together in the next round.
Right.
All right. So let's move on to our news and rumors. And let's talk about... Go ahead.
Do you want to do news and rumors first, or do you want to attack the train wreck?
Yeah, that's our very first in the news and rumors, our train wreck of the week. That's what we're going to start off with.
Okay, oh, good, because I want to rip into these people. Oh, my God.
All right, and let me put this down here in our news and rumors section, and you can talk about Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, Unfortunately, yes, that is a legitimate rumor.
All right. So, our train wreck of the week, IBF strips Tyson Fury of the title. This is so ridiculous. The IBF claims that Glasgow,
Vyacheslav Glasgow,
is the number one contender for the title, which, you know, by itself is ridiculous. But they are stripping Fury because he's electing to fight Vladimir Klitschko next, not Glasgow. He's not electing, let me clear this up for everybody listening, he's not electing to fight anyone. He has to fight Klitschko. It's in the contract. It's in the contract that he signed that the champion gets a mandatory rematch. It's in the contract that he signed that the IBF sanctioned.
Now, let me explain this to people. Before this fight was agreed to, they sent copies to the IBF, WBA, and WBO. And everybody had to sign off on this.
That's part of sanctioning. That's how the sanctioning works.
Before Klitschko and Fury could fight the first time. And the WBO and WBA came out after the IBF did this and showed copies of the contract questioning why the IBF did this, because somebody over there in New Jersey, that's where the IBF is located, by the way, didn't pay any attention. I mean, and look, I'm happy for a guy like Charles Martin. He gets a shot at Glasgow for the IBF title, but neither one of these guys deserves a shot, because this should still belong to Tyson Fury. Now, had Klitschko beaten Fury in November, Klitschko would have fought Glasgow next, because, you know, Vladimir Klitschko, the entire time that he was the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world, he always, didn't matter who it was, he always gave his mandatories their shots.
Right. How is it, let me ask you a question, how is it that we knew there was a rematch clause and the IBF didn't? They do this for a living.
Yeah.
That's just an outright lie. I mean, it is.
Why, and apparently they got a copy of the same contract that the WBA and WBO did.
So they had to have.
What is their excuse?
They had to have. You know? I mean, this is just garbage. I mean, this is just garbage at the highest level. You know? I mean, you're telling me you didn't know. You're lying. You're just lying. That's what they said, and that's what they said in their statement.
Yeah.
After they were lying, that they didn't know.
Yeah.
You know? And that's just BS.
Give me a break.
Right.
Now, look, I think Fury's going to rematch Klitschko, and I think he's going to beat him.
Yeah.
Okay? If Fury followed the same flight path, so to speak, as Klitschko, he would have gone to the IBF and fought Glasgow. And now, what does Tyson have to do? Work out a deal with the winner of this fight so he can get his title back, which he never should have lost in the first place?
Right.
You know?
I agree. You know?
Give me a break.
I mean, just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. If I were Fury, I would just leave the title. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even go get it again. You know,
well, that means there's two titles that he doesn't have. Wilder's and now this one.
Yeah, it's just stupid. I mean,
and that means the heavyweight division is going to be more divided, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
At least with one guy having three belts and Wilder having his, you knew that someday there was going to be a unification. Now we have to have two separate ones.
Right. And so what are they going to do with the IBF title? Obviously, like we talked about this, Vyacheslav Glasgow and Prince Charles Martin will fight for the title. You know, Glasgow, if you don't remember him, who did he fight? He
fought Steve Cunningham.
Cunningham, that's it. And everybody was complaining that Cunningham lost or whatever, you know. I can't believe he's the number one contender.
Yeah. No, whoever fights Glasgow is going to be able to beat him.
Yeah,
you know?
Martin's going to murder this guy.
Yeah.
You know, but unbelievable.
But, yeah, if Charles wins this, which he probably will, is he ready for a Wilder or a Fury?
Probably not. Probably not. No, I don't think so.
You know, so.
Yeah, I've seen Martin fight. He's good, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what's going on with the IBF here. So,
unbelievable.
There you go.
Unbelievable. So there's been a Floyd Mayweather sighting, and Robbie, why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a legitimate rumor from all the sources, especially when we talked about it yesterday elsewhere. The rumor has it if Danny Garcia demolishes Robert Guerrero, which I believe he's going to put him to sleep, and hopefully get rid of the dude, because Robert doesn't have anything left. Rumor has it that if Danny is successful on January 23rd, May 7th, he'll be fighting Floyd Mayweather for his 50th fight in Las Vegas in the brand new MGM Grand Arena, which opens in April.
Just silly. Just silly. That's a horrible fight, by the way. That's a horrible fight.
Because Danny is good, but Danny can't compete with Floyd.
Right. No, I agree with that, too. I mean, he's just not he's not on Floyd's level, man. No way.
No.
You need a certain kind of boxer to beat Floyd. Danny's not that boxer.
No. And what does the only thing this accomplishes is Floyd breaks the tie with Rocky Marciano, and, I hate to put it like this, but who the fuck cares?
I agree. I mean, nobody cares. I mean, it really doesn't. I mean, he's 49-0. Who cares? Nobody cared that he tied the record, to be honest. Everybody wanted this guy. Everybody wants this guy out of here. Nobody wants to watch him anymore.
Marciano's family cared. They threw. I remember they
threw a fit over that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Look, man. And Floyd's. You know, Floyd is one of the best fighters ever. I'm not gonna lie. He is. He's a good fighter. His time's done, though. Nobody wants to see him do it anymore. You know, because he's just not. He's just not there. Why don't you fight, Floyd ought to come out of retirement, fight Shane Mosley for his 50th, and then ride off in the sunset, because nobody cares.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Look, I'll say this. If Floyd wants to have a 50th fight, and he'll never do this, but put it on free TV and help the PBC brand out, like Al wanted him to do with the Berto fight.
Which he should have done with the Berto fight, right.
You know. But he won't do it. It'll be pay-per-view. It'll be another $75, and he'll get plenty of suckers to buy it, and, you know, that'll be that, you know.
Unreal.
Look, I have nothing against Danny. I don't blame him for wanting to take this opportunity.
Well, of course not.
If it's going to be handed to him. But he's not going to be able to beat him.
No.
You know?
No. No, that's a mismatch. It's a mismatch.
You know? I hope it does not come off, but that's the rumor I'm hearing. So
yeah, I don't know. That's
why we call it news and rumors. So
right, hopefully it's just a rumor.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Deontay Wilder, the Bomb Squad. We talked about him last week fighting Shannon Briggs, possibly. Well, that fight is now off the table. He is fighting Arthur Spiltzka on January 16th. And let me tell you what, man, I followed Spiltzka for quite a while now, and he's no pushover. A lot of people are upset about this, and let me tell you what, if you're upset about this, you don't know what you're talking about.
They interviewed Arthur on Showbox, and he's looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, he's a good fighter, man. He is a really good fighter. I would actually say this may be an even fight, man, because look at the competition that Wilder's faced and the competition that Spilska's faced. They've faced roughly the same kind of competition. I mean, they really have.
The only difference is Wilder fought Stavern and Spilska hasn't, so, you know.
Right. I mean, and Spilska's a really good fighter. He really is. So I'm looking forward to this one a lot. I know there was a lot of complaining on the boards and everything like that about Spilska. You know, Wilder's fighting a bum, blah, blah, blah.
And remember, if Deontay Wilder is successful in winning this, Povetkin is next, whether Alexander wants it or not. So.
Right.
There you go.
Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, who knows? Because they got a negotiating period, and who knows? Who knows what's next?
And remember, if Povetkin somehow bails out of it, Anthony Joshua is next.
Well, I don't think Joshua takes that fight. I really don't.
Well, because he's number two in the WBC. That's, you know.
Right, and I understand that. I don't think Joshua takes that fight. Even if he's number one, I just don't think he takes it. But let's talk about Manny Pacquiao. Who's he fighting next? Who knows?
Well, I believe it's going to be Terrence Crawford.
I think so, too. Listen, the announcement was supposed to come on Friday.
Yep.
But no announcement was made, you know?
Well, that's because we've been talking, and we talked about this before we went on the air. They threw out Timothy Bradley's name to see what kind of response they would get, and it was 100% negative.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. The three names on the table are Tim Bradley, Terrence Crawford, and Amir Khan. I think it was leaked that Bradley was going to be next to gauge public reaction. Do you remember when Amir Khan leaked Chris Algieri? And it was so negative, and he fought him anyway. But I think that's what he did to gauge public reaction, and I think it was not a good reaction, so they had to go back to the drawing board.
Well,
I think because
of
that, Crawford is going to be next.
It would be worse if you put out Khan's name. So, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a better fight, though. Not than Terrence Crawford, but I think it's a better fight than Tim Bradley.
That's right. Well, I love the fact that Mir is still stuck on the sideline, so anything to keep him there, it's okay with me.
You know, and you know what's going to happen is if Mir doesn't get this fight, the only name left for him, Kell Brook.
he's got no choice, man.
Right, that's it. That's the only name left.
I want to see Kell Brook get that pound of flesh, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you something, man. Have you seen the movie Creed yet?
No, I have not.
All right, I haven't seen it either, but I really want to. You know, I want to go see it. My wife wants to see that stupid movie Martian with Matt Damon.
Hey, look.
You know, Matt Damon's stuck in outer space. Who cares about that? Nobody cares about that.
Look, you have to negotiate here. She sees your movie, and then you have to go see hers.
And listen, we're not doing that, all right? It is what it is, all right?
Well, I think when Lisa hears this, she'll like that idea.
You know, it came out last week that Michael B. Jordan, the guy who plays Adonis Creed, was knocked out for real on the set by contenders who just fought this weekend, Tony Bilyeu. Just fought and won. He was knocked out. You can see the video on ringsidereporter.com. We got the video on there. It's him with a series. You can see Bilyeu. He's throwing right hands, and he's throwing them real soft, real, you know. And you could see him just swinging them over and over again, and you could see Jordan just kind of turning his head like he's being hit. Well, when he comes back, he mistimed it looks like, and he hit him for real. And I mean, just they were like light shots. I mean, I guess he didn't see it coming. He didn't expect it. He got hit straight flush. He was out cold. And some people were saying, "Well, I wonder if he was just faking it." He wasn't faking it, because when he went down, you know how he like, you know, you can break your fall or whatever.
Right.
It's like natural for you to break your fall.
Right.
He didn't break his fall. He fell face first. He was out cold.
Well, I hope they added that in the movie. That'll be great.
I kind of wonder if that's the same shot that you see in the movie. You know, you see it on the preview where he gets knocked down. I wonder if that's the shot.
Right. Okay.
Now, according to TMZ Sports, your boy Canelo Alvarez is involved in a lawsuit over a street fight. The man behind the lawsuit is Ulysses Solis, a former IBF light flyweight champ who weighs 108 pounds, who claims that Alvarez beat him up during an altercation in Guadalajara. And, I mean, you know, who doesn't get into it in Guadalajara?
Okay, why does a 160-pound middleweight pick on a 108-pound guy?
Probably chicks. I mean, women, they start the fights. You know, why else would they start a fight? Why, you know, they were fighting over some chick. I don't know that. I don't know that for sure. Allegedly, I don't know, but I'm just saying that's usually how things start. Alcohol and chicks. What else is there?
Okay.
Why are two guys going to throw down, all right? According
all
to
right.
the suit, Alvarez punched Solis in the face so hard he knocked out a tooth and fractured his jaw.
Okay.
As a result, Solis claims he was stripped of the IBF championship belt because he couldn't defend his title with a broken jaw. That sounds legit.
Yeah.
Solis claims that he was outsized in the fight, Canelo coming in at 160 pounds, and Solis at 108. That's on fight night. Who knows what they were at this night, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows, after a couple shots of tequila, what they were weighing in.
Okay.
In the suit, Solis claimed he suffered more than $4 million in damages, plus he wants another $5 million in punitive, so about $9 million total.
Well, okay. Well, Canelo, you made a decent paycheck with Canelo, so pay up.
That's right. See, this is why you should get all the fights sanctioned, you know? Then you get paid for taking that kind of whipping, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
Speaking of Canelo, the WBC has extended its deadline for the fight to be made with Triple G. Shocking. Expectation is that both fighters will have an interim fight before fighting each other. You didn't really expect this fight was going to happen, did you? Surely nobody out there expected a sanctioning body to keep their word.
No, of course not. But, you know, I'm a Triple G guy. I was hoping my guy would be able to duck that trend, because I'm tired of people ducking him.
Right. Yeah, I knew they weren't. You know, as soon as Canelo won that fight, you knew that fight wasn't going to happen.
Well, I definitely knew it if Cotto would have won, because, I mean, Cotto has Diva as his middle name. So,
right,
you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, all these sanctioning bodies, look, what has he been, 2 years? 2 years now he's been the number one contender for the WBC?
Yeah, yeah.
Still not getting a shot. Saddam Ali, number one contender for, what is it, the Bradley belt?
Bradley,
WBO or whatever?
Yeah.
Getting a shot. You know, I mean, there's no. I mean, I hate sanctioning bodies anymore. They don't. They never. You know, honor their word. There's no point in having rankings. There really isn't. I mean, there's no point in having rankings. Who's the guy who just won the WBA belt? He's a real popular fighter, man. He's a real popular fighter. He just won the WBA belt, and then he fights that 45th ranked contender. Who is that?
Who's Adrian that
guy,
Broner. Man?
Oh yeah, that's Adrian Broner, the guy from Cincinnati. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah, number 45. How's that even possible? All right.
And you call him out on TV. That's even worse.
Right. It wasn't Mayweather you called out. You called out Ashley Theophane.
Yeah.
I remember being at that fight because you couldn't hear the audio worth anything there. The audio was
horrible. Well, I remember doing the show after the fight, and I'm the one that told you who it was, and I didn't realize that you had looked it up already. But,
right.
You know.
And because you couldn't hear anything.
Yeah.
You know, and... you know, the everything was all garbled and everything. The guy next to me in press row said he just called out Floyd Mayweather. I said, "You're kidding me? That's awesome!" You know, we were all excited until I read the next day he called out, you know,
Ashley Theophane.
Who? I said Ashley Theophane. I had no idea.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's Cincinnati for you. That's Mr. Broner. What can I tell you?
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? We got a quarterback that goes down. We got Broner. Hard luck here in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Anthony Joshua is scheduled to fight again on April 9th after beating Dillon Whyte. Now, the lead candidate is Derek Chisora, who he may fight next, but he also says he's actually open to fighting Dillon Whyte next also.
Well, let's not see Whyte again, okay?
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. And then speaking of fights next year, in February, Marco Hook returns to action against Ola Afolabi. This is the fourth time that these guys are going to fight. Fourth. Really? For what?
And isn't Hook 3-0?
Yeah. Because that was his first loss was to Glowacki.
Yeah. So what's the point of, what is this, a sparring session?
Yeah, this is a good comeback fight for him, I guess, maybe to get his confidence back. I don't know, man.
Okay.
I have no idea. Well, the other fight that took place this weekend that we didn't talk about was Conor McGregor in the UFC. We don't really touch on the UFC much here, but...
13 seconds?
13 seconds versus Jose Aldo. How impressive was this? Jose Aldo was undefeated for 10 years. 10 years.
Well, gee, it sounds like the decade stuff's coming to an end. Klitschko, a decade.
Right.
You know, there you go.
And two punches. Conor McGregor threw a kick. He threw a jab, and then he came in, and Aldo rushed in, threw a punch, and got clocked. I mean, with a perfect time left hand. Put his lights out. 13 seconds. The fight was all said and done.
Okay.
Pretty good fight, man. Wasn't really that great of a fight, but pretty good performance, put it that way.
There you go. Okay.
All right. Last but not least, Showtime boxing announcer Mauro Ranallo has a new job. He will be the lead commentator for the WWE SmackDown show. This is apparently a lifelong dream of Ranallo, who's a big wrestling fan and even announced for a New Japan Wrestling. This is good news. The good news is that he's working with the WWE, and WWE is going to let him stay on Showtime also. So he'll actually announce boxing and that kind of thing.
Cool. All right.
I think Ranallo's a good announcer. I think he's more cut out for MMA and wrestling, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But
well,
I like him in boxing, too. He's not bad.
Yeah. That's where he came from, and when he first started doing Showtime, everybody knew, who's this dude, you know?
Right, you know, and I mean, you know, obviously I watch MMA and stuff like that. He was a Strike Force announcer, and he's on a lot of MMA stuff, but he was also on a lot of wrestling stuff, too,
Yeah,
absolutely, and I like him, man. He's a good announcer, super nice guy. I had a chance to meet him when he was here. He's a super nice guy.
Yeah.
So all the best for him, man.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, if Paulie can pick up paychecks in the UK, Ranallo can pick up paychecks anywhere he wants.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. And as always, you can catch Robbie on Twitter at Ringside Robert, or you can call Robbie's Ringside Corner. At 773-572-7781. And you can listen to all the podcasts and history lessons there. And, yeah. Of course, I'm at Ringside 73, and we will catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. Check us out on the web at www.ringsidereporter.com, on Twitter at Ringside73, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Ringside73. Subscribe to us on iTunes.